What does current evidence show about acetaminophen use in pregnancy? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from a very snowy Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. Current evidence does not support a clinically meaningful increase in autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability among children exposed to acetaminophen during pregnancy. That conclusion comes from a new systemic review and meta-analysis published in The Lancet Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Women's Health, addressing growing public and clinical concern driven by recent headlines. Investigators reviewed 43 cohort studies and included 17 in the meta-analysis, prioritizing studies with adjusted estimates and validated neurodevelopmental outcomes. When analyses were restricted to sibling comparison designs, methods that help control for shared genetic and environmental factors, prenatal acetaminophen exposure was not associated with autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, or intellectual disability. Odds ratios across outcomes were essentially null. Findings were consistent when limited to studies at low risk of bias and to cohorts with more than 5 years of follow-up. The authors note that early signals of small risk increases were frequently explained by confounding, exposure misclassification, or inclusion of short-term or late pregnancy use. The study's authors conclude that acetaminophen remains the recommended first-line analgesic and antipyretic during pregnancy. Avoiding appropriate treatment of pain or fever may pose greater maternal and fetal risk than acetaminophen itself. In our next story, we learn that long-term protein pump inhibitor use does not appear to be associated with an increased risk of gastric cancer. This according to a large population-based case-control study from five Nordic countries published in the British Medical Journal. Researchers analyzed more than 17,000 cases of gastric non-cardia adenocarcinoma and over 170,000 matched controls. Long-term PPI use was defined as more than 1 year of therapy, excluding the year immediately before diagnosis. After adjustment for Helicobacter pylori treatment, peptic ulcer disease, smoking-related conditions, obesity, diabetes, and multiple medications, the adjusted odds ratio for gastric cancer with long-term PPI use was just 1.01, indicating no association. Similar null findings were observed with histamine 2 receptor agonists. The investigators identified several sources of false positive association in prior literature, including inclusion of short-term PPI exposure, exposure close to diagnosis, inclusion of cardiac cancers, and inadequate control for H. pylori. The authors concluded that long-term PPI therapy may not increase the risk of gastric adenocarcinoma and that patients with appropriate indication should not discontinue PPI out of concern for stomach cancer alone. And finally, shingles vaccines may be associated with a slower biologic aging across multiple physiologic systems. This according to a U.S. population-based cohort study of nearly 4,000 adults aged 70 and older. Using data from the Health and Retirement Study, investigators examined biomarkers spanning seven domains of biologic aging, including inflammation, innate and adaptive immunity, cardiovascular hemodynamics, neurodegeneration, and epigenetic and transcriptomic aging. Compared with unvaccinated individuals, vaccinated adults showed lower inflammation and slower molecular and overall biologic aging, even after adjustment for health and demographic factors. The strongest associations were observed within 3 years of vaccination, with evidence of persistence beyond that time frame. The authors acknowledge that the observational design cannot establish causality and that the healthy user bias remains possible. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for an episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, and Bryce City for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.